Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, that's great. That sounds terrific. Thank you.
Carrie Hines, your host. Thank you for coming, Center Stage. I apologize. It looks like we were having some technical difficulties just a moment ago, but I hope that everyone can hear me. So when I open up to the mic to my guests, I want you all to let me know if you're hearing me loud and clear tonight. Tonight we're going to talk about gun control again. I think the first show we did was called Stricter Gun Laws, Answer to Senseless Violence. But tonight we want to dive a little deeper into that topic. The recent school shootings at Sandy Hook Elementary in Newtown, Connecticut, that left 26 dead brought the whole gun control debate center stage. However, is the shooting enough to cause the American people to give up their Second Amendment rights? Tonight, that's what we want to be talking about. Our topic is God, guns, and the Constitution. If the best indicator of future behavior is past behavior, as Dr. Phil always says, then history shows us that whenever the people surrender their weapons to the government, they encounter genocide. And you can look at that if you go back in history to Ottoman Turkey, 1915 to 1917. We also saw it in the Soviet Union from 1929 to 1953. If you look back at Nazi Germany, 1933 to 1945, China, 1949 to 1952, 1957 to 1960, and 1966 to 1976. We also saw it in Guatemala in 1960 to 1981, Uganda from 1971 to 1979, and also in Cambodia in 1975 to 1979. So that said, what are your thoughts on surrendering your weapons if the government were to ban them tomorrow? So that's one of the things that we'll cover tonight. Just looking back in history, the fact that any time the people have ever been asked to surrender their weapons, they later encountered genocide. But, you know, I got an intelligent panel tonight, so we're going to see what they think. First of all, we have William Owens, Jr. He's with the website God, Guns, and the Constitution. That's where we got the title for tonight's show. And we also have Thelma Tormina. She's with the 912 Group out of Houston, Texas. I'm going to see if I can find them on the lines and open up their mics. Good evening, Thelma. Good evening, William. How are you?
Fantastic. How are you?
Good. Can you all hear me okay?
I can.
I can.
Great. You know, in the intro, I spoke of Sandy Hook Elementary, and it seems like that's where this whole gun control debate resurfaced. Why do you think it was Sandy Hook that caused the debate to come back to the forefront?
Was that for me or for our other guests?
Either one of you can start.
Okay, well, I'll jump in. Let me just say that not only did this incident take place in Sandy Hook, there were other countless incidents that took place throughout this country that did not receive the news. There are thousands of people, hundreds of people a week that are killed right in Chicago, but you don't hear about it. It just so happened to be a great stage for this current administration to carry out its ideology of minimizing the American people's freedoms and liberties. It's truly a tail wagging the dog, and it's a narrative that is a false premise. No one wants to be in the midst of having to deal with a horrific incident that took place at Sandy Hook, but the souls that died that day are no less precious than souls that are dying in Chicago. And tragedy is tragedy, no matter where it takes place. But when you have a president, when you have an administration who uses these to try to fix it by taking away a weapon from good people, you begin to see that this narrative is nothing new. You know, so we can't be faked out and not look deeper into the real issue why they're coming after our guns. You know, and you did a great introduction, by the way. You know, you laid it out. You brought history into perspective. So if we put this into perspective, is it really about stopping evil people from doing evil things? You know, more people are killed with a hammer than with a gun. So I'll leave my comments there.
Thelma.
Yes? he pretty much laid it out. I mean, the truth of the matter is that it was a horrible tragedy, but what's even worse, in my opinion, is adults in our government who would use this tragedy to try to push their agenda forward. That is really, really a very sad statement in regards to who our leaders are in this country, and it should clearly explain to people why we should not ever surrender our guns to this government. These people really don't have a heart. They don't care about those children. They don't care about those families. They are using that incident to try to push their agenda forward, and that's wrong.
You know, it's funny you say that, because didn't we hear initially at Sandy Hook that Adam Lanza had used assault weapons like an AR-15, and it was later discovered that his rifles were still in the trunk of his car?
Exactly.
Except for he did have one of the rifles with him. There was some confusion there. So there actually was a rifle that was taken into the school, and I don't know which one, but irregardless, it was a crazy young man that did a crazy thing. And in the midst of these families grieving and the loss of those children, it is heartless what our government officials have done in the wake of this. They are using and exploiting that horrible tragedy to push an agenda that they've been trying to get through for decades.
Absolutely. And
go ahead.
And you know, what happens is when the people subject themselves to not looking beyond the obvious, it goes to show you how, I hate to say it this way, but it goes to show how ignorant the American people are. I don't mean the word ignorant in a derogatory sense, but it's amazing that we are supposed to be such a smart people. We have graduated from universities. We know what's on the cutting edge of technology. And yet still, we won't take the narrative farther. We will allow this current administration to put a narrative forward. They will rally people to themselves, set the stage, and we're supposed to buy it. It's really a tragedy of what's happening. But I will say this, that if we in our time and day ignore the stories and the histories of time past, we're going to get everything we deserve and more. Mm-hmm. Because those in time past didn't have the history we have today. And if we can allow a sitting president, it doesn't matter who he is, what his name is, what color he is. It doesn't matter. None of that matters. What matters is if a person is trying to take the ability for a man to protect his wife, for a mother to protect her daughter from people who have decided to disobey the law, and someone wants to take that right from us, that in itself should tell us the caliber of a person who would try to pass such an executive order.
You know, in places where there have been bans, like Washington, Chicago, or even the island nations such as like the UK, Ireland, and Jamaica, criminals still get guns and murder, and the murder rates seem to be on the rise. So do bans even really work?
Well, the statistics prove that they don't. And then on top of that, you know, President Obama has let criminals out of jail. He just let hundreds of illegal aliens out of jail, and yet at the same time they want to take our guns. I mean, this is an interesting story that's being written right now. This is the ingredients for total chaos. And I think that's exactly what this administration wants. And yet at the same time, the government will go ahead and purchase enough bullets. Now hear this, enough bullets to shoot every American five times. They purchased more ammunition than anybody possibly could. Okay? So it's not that difficult for us to see the narrative that they're creating, and it's unfortunate that we have to have a conversation on their narrative. We need to create our own narrative.
You know, Chicago's murder rate, I think, reached over 500 last year. Why is it with all of those lost lives that did not register as a reason to ban assault weapons, but Sandy Hook, where 26 were killed, all of a sudden it hits the radar?
Yes.
Thelma.
I really don't have an answer for that. All I can say is we have a black president who refuses to stand up for the black community in the right way. He will ignore it until it's time to use it, and he'll use it when he is good and ready to. They used the tragedy of that young girl that was shot. I mean, Michelle Obama used that tragedy just like they used Sandy Hook. They used Sandy Hook to appeal to the white people. They used the Chicago incident to appeal to the black people, no different than Trayvon Martin. And really, the argument that we need to place on the national table is the fact that our right to bear arms doesn't have anything to do with protecting ourselves from criminals. In a way, it does, but it's a larger criminal that we're protecting ourselves against. The right to bear arms is to make sure that we never have a tyrannical government, which we have, and they are trying very hard to make sure they disarm the whole national public here, because they know that Americans aren't going to stand for it, and they're seeing the pushback now, which is why you won't see the assault weapon ban go in place. But the background checks and maybe trying to make the magazines smaller, all of these stupid little things that will do nothing, that's what they'll push forward, because that's all they're going to be able to get. Go ahead.
You know, I've heard that, Selma, but, you know, I just don't know. I was having this debate with someone earlier, and I said, you know, if they came tomorrow and they said that they were going to ban all the AR-15s on the street, you know, there would be no more sold, let's just say that, then how do they get rid of all the ones that are already in circulation? There's no way that you can do that unless you go house by house and check. And if you're going to do that, to me it just seems like they would just go ahead and take all the guns at the same time. I just don't trust that any ban at all does not eventually end up with all guns being taken off the street.
That's where they're headed.
Yeah. That's just my belief. Do you agree with that, William?
Well, absolutely. I think we can take it even farther. This government is preparing for something that, again, they have set the narrative, and I know I keep going back to that. And the reason why it's important for them to set the narrative is so that we won't go beyond and begin to create our own narrative. So let's play a little game, okay? Let's play a little game called catch up with my narrative, okay? What's your narrative? And that simply means we start asking questions outside of their narrative, and that is what if. And if we ask those questions, it provokes us to take a little thought. You know, what if they are planning to create the chaos to begin a civil war? And it's hard for us to think these ways, because in America, in this generation, we've never seen that before. We've never had to deal with that before. So it sounds far-fetched. It sounds crazy. I was in a meeting today, and it was ladies was asking a question to a sheriff. What should I do if they knock on my door? Okay, and they say, give me your gun. Should I give them my gun? Okay, and I'm like, I'm sitting in the midst of this hearing this lady ask this question. Never did I think that this would come. So we have to step outside of the narrative and ask the tough questions, and then we'll begin to get somewhere. And the truth of the matter is, when you start seeing the KKK getting ready to march in Tennessee, you start seeing the president incite racism with the Trayvon Martin situation, and then he decides to take these poor little innocent souls who are now resting in the bosom of Christ, and then you begin to put all these moving pieces together. They're doing exercises right now in different parts of the country. They have exercises to where they're shooting blanks over cities out of black helicopters. They're already expecting death in this country because a clash is coming. Obama has already executed martial law so that the slightest situation of chaos within society, he can totally take control of the internet, take control of the ATMs, take control of the food, and yes, take control over local constituencies and take control of the law. Why do you think sheriffs are sitting on television saying the feds had better not come here, because if they do, we're going to arrest them? There's getting ready to be a conflict. There's a conflict of ideas. And this is why with God, Guns, Constitution, we lead with God, because we have to depend upon God to give us wisdom and insight and revelation as to what his will is for the Christian. You know, so it's again, we have to step outside this narrative, because they are controlling even our conversations. They control Fox News, for heaven's sake, you know, because they have set the narrative.
You know, speaking of the lady that you spoke of that says, what do you do if they come to my door and they ask for my gun? What is the answer?
You know, probably 9.5 out of 10 don't even know the answer. Number one, they can't enter your property without a warrant, okay? So if they don't have a warrant, you'd say to them, if you don't have a warrant, you can't come in my house, and you close the door. You know, you do not have other conversations. If you continue to talk to them, you'll give them probable cause. And I'm not an attorney. I don't know what I'm talking about, for the record. But you need to research this yourself and get an understanding of these things. okay? Mm. And a lot of people, out of fear and out of ignorance, are going to just politely hand over their weapons.
Wow. Sandwich Romita, what do you do if they knock on the door and say, give me your gun?
Well, he's right. But what it all comes down to, Carrie, and, you know, I've been telling everybody this for 4 years now, it's a matter of educating yourself so that you know what your God-given rights are. Did you
That's
hear
right.
that? God-given rights.
Hmm.
And then each one of us has to decide, where are we going to stand? Are we going to stand and let them take our God-given rights away from us? Or are we willing to actually give our life for those rights? Because
mm-hmm.
that's what's coming. And he's absolutely correct. Obama and this administration is setting us up for a clash. It's a question of which side creates and shoots that first shot. And a true American will never be the one who fires the first shot. So those who understand the Constitution and the rights that they have clearly understand that they will never be the one who creates the situation and makes it happen. But we are being set up for it to happen, which means the other side will.
Do you really think our government will turn on its people like that?
Yes, ma'am. This government, yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
Well, they've already done it. They've already done it. They're doing
yes.
it. I mean, there are people right now that are actually dying because they can't get medical care. Okay, the Obamacare has already caused senior citizens not to be able to get care. It's just another way of dying. They're controlling those who get the care and those who don't. And now they're taking it a step further by saying, listen, you know, this Sandy Hook situation, we have to do something about this to protect our children. That is a lie. It is nothing but a bait and switch to get our eyes off of the issue. You don't fix evil by taking away good. You don't.
No.
You don't do. And that's what they're doing. And because the people have been so dumbed down, and most of the generation is not acquainted with their constitutional rights, they don't understand the dynamics of what makes America America. And so many people are outright, in many ways, they just think, you know, America is on its high horse. They don't understand our exceptionalism and what makes us exceptional. But I promise you something, they're going to realize just how exceptional we were when they lose just the simple freedoms to go to Walmart and buy a bag of chips.
Great.
Yeah,
great.
And let me just throw this in because, Carrie, you know this topic is one of my biggest topics.
Yes.
All around the country, when it comes to these smart meters, these companies are using law enforcement officials to go and demand that these individuals allow these people to put a smart meter on their home, even though they don't want one. And what's been happening recently is that these people are being arrested for no law that they've broken. They haven't broken a law. And it just happened again in Oklahoma City where they came to install the meter. And what they actually did was they handcuffed the guy until the meter was installed, and then they took the handcuffs off him, never charged him with a crime. They had no right to do that. So if you think that officers won't come to your door to collect your guns when they will come to your door to enforce a civil law that isn't even a civil law yet and has no criminal bearings, they have no jurisdiction in that, if you think they won't do the same with the guns, you're terribly mistaken. This is the government that has now been created in the United States of America, and we are in real trouble if people don't learn their God-given rights.
Yeah, we're going to go to the phone lines in just a second. If you just tuned in, you've come center stage for the topic, God, Guns, and the Constitution. We're talking to William Owens, Jr. with the website God, Guns, and the Constitution, and he's with the town hall meeting, God, Guns, and the Constitution. Also, we're talking to Thelma Tormina. She's with the 912 group out of Houston, Texas. Tonight's segment of Center Stage is being brought to you by African American News and Commentary Blog, your single source for news, events, and commentary that is of unique interest to African Americans. They're located on the web at www.africanamericannewsandcommentary.com. com. Y'all, the chat room is down tonight, so if you have a question or a comment, you need to get on the phone lines. Dial us up at 347-850-8390 and then press 1. Again, the chat room is down tonight. We're experiencing technical difficulties. We've contacted Blog Talk Radio. They are aware. They're going to try to fix it before the end of the show. So if you have a question or a comment or a concern, you need to get on the phone lines and dial us up at 347-850-8390, and then again, press 1. We're going to go to area code 504-460. Good evening. You're on Center Stage.
Yes, how you doing? My name is Eugene Ralph. I know William, and I've heard of the lady on the phone in, out of Houston. I just want to say hello to everybody, and thank you for this topic. In light of what William was saying, I'm in total agreement with everything he just said as far as how he's laying this out. And the thing is, we have to recognize, as far as this Obama administration is, consider him and what he stands for in light of what he's doing. And as far as what I could see, the Sandy Hook situation was a perfect opportunity for him to do exactly what he wanted to do the previous 4 years. If you notice, he never even brought up the issue of gun control, no matter how bad the situation. Even when Gabby Gifford got shot last year, that idea of gun control was never dealt with because he knew that he could not get reelected if he actually even just teetered even slightly in that direction. So he stayed clear away from it. But one of the things that really stuck out to me back in 2007 when he first began to run, and I was listening to somebody talk about him, and he said that when he was in college that he aligned himself with the Chicanos and the Marxists. Well, when they say he aligned himself with the Chicanos, that didn't really, you know, I didn't really think much of that. But when he said he aligned himself with the Marxist professors, he got my attention. So I began to do some research on him, and I began to realize that this man was absolutely the most dangerous person that ever could have gotten elected to the presidency. The thing that makes it so much worse now is the fact that we don't have anyone who are, I would say, the numbers who are fighting against him on our side are so small and relatively ineffective that it almost seems as if he's just coming across with a steamroller. And so what's taking place is a lot of people on the local levels are trying to organize, like the lady was talking about, with the sheriffs and the different elected officials on the state levels trying to push back. And I believe that it's going to take a massive organization of people throughout this country coming together in groups of people to let the government know that we will not stand for this and we will not tolerate it. And I'm telling you, as far as asking the question about what they will do, I would just say whatever the worst possible thing you think could happen, just consider it to be a reality, because these ideas are not something that just got dreamed up by Barack Obama. These ideas have been in the works for years. And I remember back in the Clinton administration, people were concerned about this, and they kind of went to sleep when Bush got in office. For, I don't know why, because much of the legislation that he laid out with the Patriot Act actually set the groundwork to allow Obama to do much of the things that he's doing right now legally.
I agree.
So,
do y'all have a comment for the caller, William? Thelma?
I just want to say Eugene brings a real fresh perspective to all of this by going back to really understand, you know, who Obama is. And please, for your listeners, it's not that we are this anti-Obama rhetoric. You know, the truth of the matter is a tree is known by its fruits. And it's just like if you had a beautiful daughter who's 19 years of age and she is your pride and joy and she is going out on a date tonight. And two young men want to date her. One knocks on the door. The other one is right next to him, and they're looking at each other. And you look at one, and one so happens to be black. And you look at the other one, and the other one's white. Okay? Now, irregardless of what color you are and what color your daughter is, that's not the issue. How are you going to determine who is worthy to take your daughter out? Based on their pigmentation or based on a conversation? And the reason why I put it like this is because most people who voted for Obama never had a conversation. They voted based on pigmentation. You're going to let your daughter out, go out with the guy of the pigmentation, and you're going to wonder why she's going to come back without her virginity.
Ouch. Okay.
Yeah, and the other thing to add to that, William, you know, what I guess what's disgusting me even more so was to hear conservative blacks that I've seen some on TV in various capacities, some, you know, come on TV regularly, some have, you know, become more prominently known since Obama's been elected, who said that they voted for him even though some of them were registered Republicans because of the historical factor. I'm like, are you kidding me? You didn't check out this guy's past about what he stood for when he was in Chicago, when he, the things that he actually, the positions he took, the ones he did not take, the things that he said. I mean, it just blows my mind how so-called educated and very smart people made absolutely the stupidest decision they ever could have made in their political life when they voted for this man in 2008. But even beyond that, dealing with the average, you know, rank and file person that you come in contact with and you talk with, you know, what drives me nuts at this point is that in this past election, in spite of the fact that Mitt Romney had a lot of shortcomings, but in spite of that, this last election, with all of the things that people did know about this man, especially in the black community, in talking with Christians, people who claim to be Christians, love the Lord, and, you know, live their lives according to Scripture, and compromise everything that they say they believe when this man came out and said, I support same-sex marriage. I mean, that's never mind the fact that he supports infanticide. Never mind the fact that he has no regard for the Constitution, which black people, if they actually take their time and remember, those who've been around a little while, what was it that the civil rights leaders used in the 50s and 60s to get us to have us be able to be on an equal playing field with everybody else was the Constitution. And now black people have allowed themselves to be brainwashed to believe that the Constitution is some kind of a white man's way of being racist. I just can't even get with that one.
Thank you, Steve, for that comment. Okay, we're going to go to area code 908-412. Good evening, you're on Center Stage.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. This is Pastor Shannon Wright. How are you all?
Fine. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I've been listening to your show, and the topic itself is just awesome, and it is so needed and so overdue.
Hi, Pastor Wright. How are you?
I am fine. How are you?
Good. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, please. It is certainly my honor.
What's your comment tonight?
Well, you know, it's unfortunate that we have to have this kind of a dialogue. You know, the Bible is really clear on scriptures, the right for folks to defend themselves. And there's a difference between self-defense and vengeance, but when you are defending yourself, if you look in the Bible, in Old Testament, in Exodus, in the New Testament, in Luke, there are scriptures that say you have the right to defend yourself. So when earlier you were talking about God-given rights, it literally is a God-given right to defend yourself and your family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the fact that it's then reiterated in the Constitution, people say you look to different sources for information. They can't both be wrong. And to me, the Bible is you know, that's the blueprint.
I agree. William, Thelma, do you have a comment or question for the caller?
Other than she's absolutely right?
No. You know, and when you all were talking about the other issues about the direction that the country is going in and how folks just need to, it really comes back to, if you watched Spike Lee's movie, when they talk, the guy rang the bell, they were on the college campus, and he just screamed, "Wake up. We're asleep. We're not seeing all that's going on." It's about rights. It's not about political parties. It's about rights, God-given and constitutional-given.
Caller, are you African-American?
Yes, I am.
Okay. You know, one of the questions I posed to William earlier is that, you know, for whatever reason in this country, if you're African-American and you say anything that's different from what our president is saying, everybody feels like you're being, like, not American, or you're being an Uncle Tom. How do you answer that?
Well,
I'll let you go.
Would you like the politically correct answer or the real one?
give me the real one.
The real one is I was born to a single teen mom in the projects living with my grandparents. It don't get no blacker. Let's just keep it real. I know who I am. I know where I come from. And it's only those that have their own doubts about their own self that would feel a need to label someone else with a label that does not fit.
Okay.
Amen.
Okay. And William, I posed this to William earlier because I said, you know, people are going to wonder, this is a black man talking about a black president, so obviously he's got to be an Uncle Tom. And William, your answer was?
You know, I don't remember what I said to you. You got me. it'll come to me, but let me just say that, you know, it's the narrative. When you have a people who have allowed themselves an appetite of hors d'oeuvres and appetizers, all they eat is buffalo wings, okay? That's all they eat, and they just love the buffalo wings. All of a sudden, they pass by your table, and they see a meal. And so instead of, you know, acknowledging the meal or just going to the restroom and doing their thing, they have to stop and say, what, you too good for chicken wings? So in the same way, instead of engaging and understanding, people propose to assume that we're too good to know the truth and be able to make decisions based on that information. What happens is when people refuse to think and use their brain, to do so hurts. Mm-hmm. And instead of adjusting their ways and amending their ways, they become the accusers because they don't want to use their brain. They don't want to think and be proactive. And to be honest, it's not really about Obama. It's not about him. True. It's about truth. We have idolized him. We have found someone to idolize. But you know what? Obama is nothing but a reflection of each individual who looks to man. That's all he is. And furthermore, the whole theme of God, GunsConstitution.org, that's our website, GodGunsConstitution.org, is at this town hall meeting, we take the time to establish God. You know, we put the Bible out of school. We put prayer out of school. We rejected the Ten Commandments, even though the monuments in D.C., the buildings in D.C., the Supreme Court justice, all these different buildings have scriptures all over them. We put them out and look at where many of the crimes are taking place, right in school. That's where they're taking place.
Absolutely.
Places where we put them out from. And now we have a culture and a generation who is absolutely absent-minded of the true history of where America came from. And this is what we're facing. And it's not going to get better. It's just not going to get better. That's not a statement of hopelessness. It's a statement to understand as a Christian that there's a shift taking place. And I believe a lot of what we've seen, it has many, many tones of Bible prophecy in it. And for those who are not Christians and don't understand that, it's very important that you open your heart and mind up to the real and true and living God. Because I promise you, when we start seeing bodies on the street, people had better know who their God is.
Right. You know, William, you say that African Americans play a specific and crucial role within this gun decision. Explain that.
Well, you know, they play a crucial role simply because African Americans have decided to take a passive position anytime President Obama decides to take action, even when they know it goes against the grain of our core values. We've decided to take a passive position, specifically the pastors. Specifically churches throughout this country, black churches, we have become silent and muted on the issues that will affect our neighbors and affect the people we pastor. And the reason why I say the black people play an instrumental role one way or the other is because for us to be silent in regards to the truth is for us to give consent to the lie. We have decided to neutralize. And Obama does not respect, and he does not respect a group of people, whether you're black or white. He is committed to an ideology. He's committed to his form of religion, his form of thinking, if you would. And we all have a right to it.
And this is why black pastors throughout this country, if they do not rise up and speak truth to power, the blood of many will be on their hands. Ezekiel tells us, when you see a man and he is doing wrong, and you warn that man, if that man continued to do wrong and he dies in his sin, you will not be held guilty. But if he dies and you did not warn him, the blood of his hands will be on you. That blood will be on you. So this is why black pastors and black people and black leaders throughout this country must stand up and say, that is not right. And if we don't say it, we're going to add to the casualties of what could come out of what we see happening right now.
Wow. We're going to go back to the phone lines. We're going to pick up area code 661-748. Good evening. You're on Center Stage.
Yes. Good evening, folks. I so appreciate the direction this conversation is taking. It is so vital. It is so essential, because I essentially think the black community is akin to what the German people were in the 1930s with Adolf Hitler. The degree of evil of Barack Obama is not quite as bad as Adolf Hitler, but it's similar. It's a matter of degree, not of kind. And the amount of cognitive dissonance in the black community as to what is in their best interest and what this Marxist usurper, this thoroughly evil human being represents, is simply beyond anything I ever thought I would see in my lifetime. I believe Barack Obama is manifestly evil. He supports infanticide, for God's sake. He is a Marxist, and I don't believe he's a natural-born citizen who's even qualified constitutionally to be a citizen, to be president of the United States. Now, having said that, when it comes to the issue of gun control and Barack Obama, it is quite clear. The man has manifested his contempt for the Constitution in statement after statement on the public record. For instance, he refuses to acknowledge the role of God the Creator as mentioned in the Declaration of Independence, that our inalienable rights come from the Creator God and they cannot be removed by men. And amongst the inalienable rights that the founders specified were the right to keep and bear arms for defense of your individual life, your nation, and your state as a member of a citizen in an organized body and a citizen militia. He doesn't understand that. Well, he understands it, and he recognizes the threat to the sort of incipient tyranny that he represents, and he will do everything in his power to control it. I say again, he is manifestly evil, and if you doubt that is so, look at the picture after picture of him in press conferences where flies are constantly alighting on his face. I submit to you, that's all of the evidence you need.
It is true. It is true. The Beelzebub.
William, Selma, do y'all have a question or a comment for this caller?
Oh, I just love this caller.
Listen, sir, my hat's off to you. Very well said. Very well said. Eloquent.
I'm taking such pleasure in this show. Every caller that has spoken so far, they all get it, and it's so nice to actually know that people really are paying attention and they do know what's going on, because, Lord, if they don't, we are in real trouble.
May I say this?
Yes.
I reside now in the state of Georgia. I'm an expatriate from Illinois. Barack Obama used to be my state senator. I've known about him since 1994. And believe me, one of the reasons I left Illinois was to get away from Democrat politics like them who were running Illinois into the ground. I worked in Alan Keyes' campaign against him because, frankly, Alan Keyes, being a man of morality and conscience, could simply not abide the idea that Barack Obama was going to waltz into the United States Senate unopposed, a man who not only is a pro-abortion but supports infanticide, for God's sake, even the most radical pro-abortionists in the United States Senate and the Illinois Senate, the Illinois Legislative Assembly, could not countenance what he was supporting, what he was willing to vote against. Talk about people like Hillary Clinton. Because when they voted, had a chance to vote for the United States federal version of the Born Alive Infant Protection Act, they voted for it. Barack Obama voted against it because he is that radical and that manifestly evil. In other words, a baby who survives a botched abortion, in his mind, should not be given medical care, the kind of routine medical care that any human being would be given in a moment of, in the moments of distress, because he feared, and he said so, he feared it would imperil the legal rationale behind Roe versus Wade. That man is Nazi-esque. He does not deserve election in any sort of a country that believes in the Christian notion of God or anything else. I cannot understand how this man, who's clearly not even constitutionally qualified, could be elected twice to the United States Senate, save for the fact that the people who have the constitutional duty to oversee such things are utter, complete, total cowards who are disregarding the avalanche of information. I'm talking about veritable avalanche that shows this man not only is not constitutionally qualified, but is engaging in outright identity fraud. It's unbelievable.
It is.
Well, you know, everything you're articulating, sir, is all made possible when a people subjugate themselves to such a degree to where no amount of truth even matters anymore. And it's so apparent. It is so there. You're well-educated. You've applied yourself. And that's what happens when one applies themselves. But when people who have been educated contrary to truth, they don't have ear to hear. And it's not so much that we've accepted Obama. The truth of the matter is we have rejected God. And the prophet Samuel cried, and God had to ask Samuel, oh, "What are you crying for, bro? They're not crying. Why are you crying? They're not rejecting you. They reject me." And this is why such a person as Obama can come into this country and all of a sudden be held as emperor, because that's just the way he's acting.
Thank you, caller. As you just tuned in, you've come center stage tonight for the topic, God, Guns, and the Constitution. We're talking to William Owens Jr. and Thelma Tormina. A reminder, the chat room is down tonight, so if you have a question or a comment, you need to get on the phone lines. Call us up at 347-850-8390 and then press 1. So we're going back to the phone lines, y'all. We're going to pick up area code 973-748. Good evening. You're on center stage.
God bless you. This is Bishop Womack. How are you today?
Fine, Bishop Womack. How are you?
I am blessed and on top. I wanted to say the church actually has gotten an error from years ago from going to the state or being in contract with the state by getting, first of all, the 501c3. So the church has actually lost its voice, because when it goes to the state or to the government, what has happened now, we enter back into the kingdom of darkness. And when you enter back into the kingdom of darkness, you've lost your radiant light to actually get the direct message to actually empower people. And this is something that I teach pastors and so forth, cancel out that contract, the 501c3. You have to get permission to do this, permission to do that, when we really should be going to the source. You know, God is, I heard the young man say, you know, it's not Obama that's the problem. It's that the church has forgotten who the source is.
Amen.
Yeah. I agree. Thelma, William, do you have a question or comment for this caller?
Yeah, I would love to. I would love to connect with you, because a lot of pastors are frustrated, and they realize they can't continue this unholy union and be relevant. And many pastors now are being brought to task by their members. They're being brought to task, and, well, Pastor, what do we do? And it's not enough to say, baby, just pray. God will lead us. Just pray. God is good.
You're absolutely right. We have to go back to the Word, and we have to exercise the Word and exercise the principles. This is something that years ago we actually gave them back, because I found out if you receive the 501c3, what happens is you lose your voice as a prophet to minister or to speak to the nations or to speak to the king. You know, all the prophets actually approached the king and began to speak to the king when the king was in error. But if
That's
you have
right.
that 501c3, you have to shut up. You can't say anything from the pulpit or even period.
Well, you know, in essence, many of the bishops are driving cars that are not theirs and eating steak that's not theirs. You know,
that's a whole nother subject.
Yeah, they are. You know, how can they all of a sudden correct the king when they got the king's steak hanging out their mouth?
Exactly, exactly. And we need to return back to the my dad taught me this. There are two types of churches. One is the professing church. Those are the saying that they believe in God and Jesus and the Word. And then there is the possessing church. We have a lot of people that are professing but not possessing. And if we're going to have a voice, we have to be possessing the reality of the truth.
That's right.
Well, Pastor Man, what is your view on this whole gun control issue?
I think every child of God should have a gun. Today we call it guns. Jesus back then it was called the sword.
Ooh,
and he never told Peter to throw his sword away. He told Peter was skilled with that sword. Peter actually, in our modern day vernacular, fired a shot as a warning shot and cut off that Roman soldier's ear. That was a warning to get back. Jesus never said, throw away your sword. He said, put it up. He told him, put it up. But then you find other times when Jesus actually told the disciples, because they needed some money, go sell your sword. But now that we got the money, go back and get your sword. So my thing on this gun issue, everyone, child of God, now non-child of God, you need a gun.
That's right.
Wow.
You know,
the man of God, y'all. Well, thank you, Pastor, for calling in tonight.
God bless you. God bless you. Thank you.
Send me an email, bro. Send me an email, man.
All right. Peace.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we're going back to the phone line, y'all. We're going to pick up area code 202-372. Good evening, your own center stage.
Good evening. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
I know that phone number.
I'm sorry?
I know that phone number.
Yeah, I know you know that phone number.
Who are we
this
speaking?
Is his wife calling.
Oh, hi. How are you, Mrs. Owens?
Good. My name is Selena, and I just wanted to call because it was... everyone has been chiming in with such good remarks from all different sides of the coin about the guns, about the birth certificate, about, you know, how evil Obama is and his proposed agenda. And I think something William said earlier on is that, you know, that's the reason why this is called God, guns, and the Constitution, because it's going to take God. God's going to deal with all of this at some point. And those who profess to know his name are going to have to live up to the profession that they, you know, that they hold to. And it's going to be a really sad time because a lot of people say that they know him now, but like the other, you know, like Eugene was saying, another gentleman was saying that they're voting for him. And William was saying, you know, they you know, when it comes down to that, it's almost like a sacred cow. It's almost like something you can't touch. You know, you can go so far, but you can't touch, you know, the Obama thing. You know, well, God will deal with it. Well, that's his business and da-da-da-da. And the Lord said if we are partakers of any man's sin, we're going to be judged in that too. So this is most certainly about guns in the Constitution, but... You know, it was named God, Guns, and the Constitution because it really has to, and it really does drive the point home that God is in this far more than we all can see it and know it, but he is in this. And at the right time, it's going to play out in America. And I hope that people decide to choose his side and not get caught in this man God thing, well, kind of, sort of way, because he won't have any of that. It just won't.
Well, thank you, Selena, for calling in tonight.
You're
okay, y'all, listen. You know, they say that 34 Americans are murdered by guns every day. Will a ban on assault weapons really change that?
No.
I don't think, I mean... I'm trying to understand. Most people are not killed by assault weapons, are they?
I don't really know. I mean, I couldn't answer that question, but really it's not the gun. It's the person holding it that makes the determination. And really nothing's going to change that. Banning guns isn't going to change people who are just downright evil and murder other people.
right.
They'll find a way to do it.
William.
And, well, you know, again, I got to come back to that. I got to come back to that word I keep referring to. It's become so. It's become clearer to me than ever before in my life, and that is the narrative. Okay, because what has happened is that they're making the type of weapon the issue, and they're not making the real. They're not making their agenda the issue. They don't want us to understand their agenda. So they pick a gun, or they pick the type of weapon, or they pick, you know, I mean, if an ant is biting you, does it matter if it's one or 50? You're being bit by an ant, okay? You need to find out why you're being bit by an ant. So they want to redirect our conversation by making the issue the gun, a gun, the type of weapon. That's what they want to do, and it has nothing to do with the type of weapon. If I live on an acreage, if I live out in the country and I live on an acreage and I understand that if someone's going to come up on my property to take my possession and harm my family, I realize I'm probably 45 minutes from the sheriff getting to my place, and chances are it's not going to be one or two people who tried to do harm to my property because they realize this is a large piece of land. I'm going to need more than a high-end silver gun. Okay, I'm going to need the proper gun, the proper machine. If I have a job to do, do I use a hammer because it's safer, or do I use a sledgehammer because it's effective? The issue is not the type of weapon. The issue is purpose, the effectiveness of the weapon. If a bad person wants to do bad, does it matter if he can't get an automatic weapon? He's just going to get the weapon he needs to do the job with.
Exactly.
So, again, it's really irrelevant. It's a narrative that just is being played upon the American people, and we need to shake ourselves from it and create our own narrative. The narrative of these people who call on the phone today, just brilliant minds articulating an issue. Unfortunately, we don't own the media. We don't have the stage to push these truths out. And it's amazing. You know what? We have not vacated one principle here. We have all used our common sense. And that's something that this administration has failed to do. They just cannot use common sense. When they tell me, tell my wife, or they tell my daughter, if you're going to be raped, grab a pen and excrete on yourself, that might protect you.
Wow. You know,
because that's what they said. That's just what they said. If you're going to be raped, get an ink pen and just excrete on yourself, and hopefully the guy wouldn't want to do nothing with you because you lost your bowels on yourself. It sounds ridiculous. I can't believe I'm saying this.
You know what, yeah.
Well, I mean, it's true. Let's get a grip.
I'll be saying that too. Listen, you know, one of the articles that I came across today in researching for this show really kind of surprised me, because the information is right in front of us and we really haven't paid a lot of attention to it. And that was that there is a lot of misleading information that is being circulated in this debate. That said, some of the things that they said were shocking, in the fact that isn't it true that no military-style weapons are being sold to civilians? There aren't any weapons on the street right now that are considered like machine guns, where you can shoot at just one time and it just continuously sprays bullets. There's no type of weapons like that right now on the street. A second thing they brought up in this particular article was that a ban on assault weapons or AR-15s or similar weapons like that will put an end to mass shootings or violent gun crimes. That's not going to stop just because they ban assault weapons. And then another thing they brought up was that mass murderers always use assault weapons. That's not always the case either. And they cited these particular incidences as their evidence that that's not always true. In April of 1995, Timothy McVeigh in Oklahoma City murdered 168 people, and he injured 680 with a bomb. They also talked about in May of 1927, a man murdered 44 people, and he wounded 38 in what was considered the worst school massacre in history. They also cited in November of 1995 where John Jack Gilbert Graham murdered 44 people on United Airlines Flight 629, with a bomb. And last but not least, we know 9/11. where 3,000 people died when two planes hit the Trade Center, one hit the Pentagon, and the other one went down in Shankville, Pennsylvania. So this is where people took planes and used them as a weapon. So isn't an assault weapon really anything somebody chooses to use as a weapon against another person?
Very yeah. well said. That is a good point. It really is a good point. And you know the number one weapon that's used is not a weapon. It's a, well, it's a hammer.
Oh, see, yeah, and you brought that up earlier. I agree. And so when we say assault weapons, don't we really need to make our government be clear in this debate on what is specifically being defined as a, an assault weapon? Because anything can be an assault weapon if it's used improperly.
Very good point, Gary. It's true. Because here's the thing. Nobody wants to use logic or common sense when it comes to this issue, which is why they're using the emotional argument, which is that's all they're using. That's why they use the little kids that get shot. That's why they use the young girl and only point to the young girl in Chicago who got shot. Look how many children really are killed on the streets of Chicago all the time, but yet and all they never draw attention to it. What is up with that?
True. You know, the thing is, one thing I learned, I think, last year in researching for a show, and I don't even remember what show it was, y'all, but I found out that police, I think it was your Stand Your Ground Law show that we did, but we realized in researching for that show that police are not here to protect you. They respond to crime.
That's right.
They're not here to protect you. They are here to respond to a crime. So that's saying, if they take all the guns from law-abiding citizens, who is going to protect us from the criminals?
Well, you know, that's a very good question. And when I see a president attempt to take our guns from us because what a crazy person did against our children, and then with the same within the same 30 days or 40 days or whatever, he decides to let criminals out of jail, illegal criminals. At the same time, one hand says, I want your guns. The other hand says, go get it, boys. They don't have any guns. So, again, when you put the dynamics together, he's disarming us and letting criminals loose on us. What are the pastors doing out there? Those who are listening to this show, if you can go to church Sunday and drop your 10% in the offering bucket and you don't hold your pastor accountable to this, you need to rethink your Christianity.
Amen.
You need to rethink it. You know, I wrote a commentary on my website. I called out T.D. Jakes. I called out what's the happy man? He's always happy.
I can't think of it.
Joel Osteen. I called them out. And listen, if you're going to have a mega church with thousands and thousands of people, and you're going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and speak truth, you can't just speak truth when it's nice and when America is doing well. If you're going to have a mega phone, then you have a mega responsibility. And if you fail to carry out the mega when it's difficult by speaking truth to power, you are subjugating yourself to a king. And as a result, you've decided that you don't represent the king. Our king, and that's King Jesus. Now, that's fine. If you're going to be a man of men, you know what? These times and days are going to cause it become very evident who a person really serves and who they're really preaching for. It's going to become very evident because now we've never seen such an opportunity to stand for truth. We've never seen such an opportunity to let our light shine. And I understand that, you know, this is not a Christian radio talk show. We're talking in the real world. So I'm not disrespecting somebody's belief, but I will tell you this. This is going to give you a chance to really validate if what you believe really matters and has power. If it has no power, if it can't convict you to put your life on the line and say, I'm going to stand for truth despite it all, I would really recommend you check out another God.
Well, you know what, William, I really don't want to blame it on God if your pastor does not stand up for our rights as far as his gun control issue is concerned. I think, in my opinion, as far as this is concerned, what are the people supposed to be doing? Because I would hate to think that if your pastor doesn't do the right thing, then you don't have any direction on what you should do for yourself. So what would you and Thelma say the people should be doing for themselves in terms of if they're not comfortable with the fact that you know, our government is looking like they're going to ban assault weapons or maybe ban guns altogether? What should the people be doing? Because, you know.
Well, let me tell you why I have to take the pastors to task,
okay,
especially within the black community, because the black people, they don't listen so much so to the politicians. They don't necessarily follow CNN and Fox News, if you would. They listen, but they get their directives and they get signal from their pastors. The black people are tribal when it comes to what do I do next. We're very subject to groupthink. What our group does is more important than what we do.
I get that, but I'm saying in an issue this important for anybody who is out there thinking.
Well, I'm going to tell you what they're going to do. You know what they're going to do? They're going to say, hold on just a minute. Let me go ask my pastor.
And I'm afraid of that because I think this is, but the issue is, it's too important of an issue to put that much power in one person's hand. I think people need to start thinking for themselves and realize that if, in fact, they do take up our guns, you know, it's going to be you that you're going to have to hold responsible that you didn't get up and do stuff. And so that saying, let's just give them some directions just in case, let's just say they don't even have a pastor. What do you think a person should do, Thelma or William? What should they do if they are not comfortable with the fact that the government is looking like they're going to take up guns?
Thelma, I just want to say, Thelma said something earlier. She said, people need to educate themselves, because if they're not educated to a deep level, they won't carry out what I say to them over the phone. There's no way they would carry it out. You know, chances are they might report me instead of carrying it out. You know,
no, really.
Truth of the matter is, you can't all of a sudden overnight adapt to this. You just can't adapt to it because you tell a person step one, step two, step three. Okay, step one, when they knock on your door, knock, 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 knock. This is the police. Give us your guns. Step two, tell them, well, the Constitution says I shall not give you my gun. You know, what do? You have to really let this sink in deeply, because in a series of crises, when people get thrown in crisis, the psychological impact is going to be horrific. It's going to be absolutely horrific because people are not prepared for this.
I'll
let her give the sensible answer. I'm being very prophetic right now, okay?
Before
you jump in, Thelma, remember the pastor said earlier that when all of these churches went under the corporation, they can't say anything. Their hands are tied. They're not going to tell their people. You know, I messed up when I, you know, went under this, you know, corporation thing. So they're not going to tell them. They're just not going to say anything about it.
Well, I don't want to disagree with the pastor, but there is a large, large group of pastors, ministers, priests, a large amount of clergy who have challenged the IRS and the 501c3 rule that they can't speak about politics in the pulpit. And they have actually challenged the IRS. The IRS will not take them to task on it because the IRS knows they would lose. This has been going on now for 2 or 3 years, and the IRS still will not bring charges. They've actually written letters to the IRS begging them to take them to task, and they will not do it. So the churches need to stop fearing the government. That's number one.
Okay.
Number two, as individuals, William is absolutely right. The black population in this country is one of the most spiritual population that we have at this point in time. They do look to their pastors for guidance, and they should be listening to what's coming out of the pulpit. The problem is that many of the pastors are not informed, or they believe in the social justice. They have bought into it. And the truth of the matter is that our country was founded on religious beliefs, and it was the pastors who first spoke out. And they
spoke
from the pulpit to begin with, and we needed to start to come from there again, because people must get their moral bearings again so that they can make a determination how strong their faith is. I have said this several times at our meetings to our membership. The truth of the matter is you have to know how strong your faith is and how much conviction you have when it comes to your belief and whether or not you truly believe in God and you truly believe that when you die, you're going back into his arms. Because you need to decide that before the crisis hits, not after. And I literally have told my membership that if they were to come to my door and say to me, I need this information on your membership, or I'm going to kill your husband, I have enough faith to be able to stand there and say, go ahead and do it, because I know he's going to a better place. Either That's you right. have that kind of conviction or you don't, but you need to decide that now.
Okay, amen. Y'all. We're going back to the phone line. 630-681. I don't know if I picked you up before or not, but we're going to open your phone lines, and if I have, we'll just move on. Area code 630-681. Have I spoken with you already?
No, you haven't.
Okay, good evening. Welcome to Center Stage.
Hi, good evening. My name is Babette Holder Yumberg, and I am a Black conservative female blogger, and we advocate on the Second Amendment as well as a bunch of other social and civil issues. Good evening, Thelma. Good evening, Williams.
Hi. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Good evening.
Good evening. I live in Illinois. I'm outside of Chicago, but know the city well. Of course, as you know, Illinois has some of the most restrictive gun control laws in the nation. So I was listening to you all discuss the number of children that have died in our city, the fact that Hayata was made a national case by the Obamas, that's the young lady who had attended the inauguration with her school band and then was shot on returning home. So I've been following you guys most of the evening, listening to that. And just so you know, there has been over 500 young people under the age of 21 in the city of Chicago that have been killed by guns.
Ooh, wow.
Yes, so, right. And as you know, we led the nation in gun murders last year for 2012. We're already sitting at 57 homicides right now in Chicago.
Jeez.
But as of last year, I believe it was 2,670. I believe that's the number that we closed out 2012 with.
Wow.
Yes. So I've been talking, and what you've been saying about the pastors in the churches and the 501C, Thelma, I believe that's called the Freedom Alliance. There was 1,000 pastors that joined in together, and they had a Freedom Sunday to challenge the IRS. Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And William was saying about Black people as a large, he's correct. They do turn to their churches. But out here recently, we've been holding gun control town hall meetings because, as you know, don't remember the correct date, but in April this year, Illinois has to address the conceal and carry law that was overturned by the Supreme Court. So I was been following those shows closely, and with friends of mine who are with the Illinois Rifle Association, he's been speaking. The turnout has been great in predominantly Black neighborhoods here in Chicago.
Wonderful.
People on the South Side and the West Side. My advice to them would be to try and attend these. And the predominantly Black radio stations such as WVON out here, WGCI, they are advertising when they're occurring, and what will shock people is they're saying, we want the right to carry guns. We have to protect ourselves and our children.
Good for
because,
them.
That's right, because obviously gun control, it actually puts jeopardy on the innocent, and the criminals, they're applauding this.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They're not going to register and you know, serial number where there are guns, you know, as some of these proposals, they want the serial number, they want you to apply for a FOIA card, which we have to do here anyways in Illinois. So they already have a list of who the gun owners are, because you have to have a FOIA card. They're not doing that. These guns are out there coming through the black market, underground, hitting the gangs. The cartels are feeding them. And they're not going to go and do all this registration. And they were also talking about they would have checks and inspections. And I'm sorry, they don't do that for deadbeat fathers and keep track of them. How are you going to do this with all the gun owners?
One of the best things that the American public could do, law-abiding American citizens, is to go and learn how to use a gun, actually take a course and learn how to use a gun, whatever kind of gun you're comfortable with. And if you need to get a permit, go ahead and apply for the permit, get the gun, get your ammunition, learn how to use them properly, and arm yourself. Because right now, there is no ban. And with an executive order, he does not have the authority to issue a ban. It has to come from Congress. Everybody that is fighting this needs to arm themselves, but they need to properly learn how to handle a gun.
That's right.
If everybody did that, do you really think that they are going to push to put a ban through? It isn't going to happen.
Not at all.
Thanks for calling, Bobby. I just want to say, you know, I'm calming down some, okay, first of all. I so have respect for the men and women of God in this country.
Okay.
And I want to encourage them to realize that if God called us to represent truth, he gave us everything we need to represent truth. He has equipped us. And I believe we're going to experience it. I truly believe we have an opportunity to reaffirm that America was a God idea. And Columbus came here because he believed that the providential hand of God guided him to this place. The early settlers came here because they believed they were led here by a force greater than them. And when they came here, they established that. And it was when the British determined, we don't like this liberty you're having, so we're coming to take your guns. It was then that the preachers took off their black robes and they said, we must defend what God has given. And they took their sword, their muskets and their swords, and they fought back the British. It was because of that we were able to have the time to even fathom and receive the inspiration to come up with what we now call the Constitution. So that's why you have God guiding the early pilgrims here. You have guns fighting against the British who wanted to bring tyranny up on us. And then you have the Constitution, GodGunsConstitution.org.
Wow. Okay, y'all, we're three callers behind, and we're going to get to them in just a second. We're coming to 972-332 first, 908-412-2nd, and 606-297. If you just tuned in, you come center stage tonight for the topic, God, Guns, and the Constitution. We're talking with William Owens, Jr., with God, Guns, and the Constitution.org. And we're also talking to Thelma Tormina with the 912 Group out of Houston, Texas. A reminder, y'all, the chat room is down tonight, so if you have a question or a comment, you need to get on the phone lines now. Dial us up at 347-850-8390 and then press 1. Again, the chat room is down tonight, so if you want to talk to this panel, you need to get on the phone lines. Call us up at 347-850-8390 and then press 1. Okay, I said I was going to area code 908-412. Good evening. You're on center stage.
Good evening. I called in earlier, and I've been listening to your show, and I had to call back, and I wanted to say I had a chance to meet William Owens last week and hear him speak, and he is the main reason why I was listening and called in tonight. You know, one of the things that you all have talked about tonight is the apathy from the pulpit, and when you look at it not just from a standpoint of gun control, but when you look at it from a standpoint of across the board on all the issues, the only group of folks on this planet that is missioned, purposed, ordained, and destined to stand up and address these issues of self-defense, of education, of how to handle the poor, the widow, the orphan. It's the churches. It's the pastors. And when we abdicated our roles is when government stepped in to take over for what we were lacking in actually doing. And the only way to really change this is for folks to really embrace the role that they have. Because truth be told, when you look in the Bible, and if you're a pastor, if you're anyone in clergy, and you claim that, if you don't do here what you're missioned and purposed to do, you're going to pay for that for a long time when you leave here. So as for me, I don't want to pay that price. So I know it's incumbent upon me as a pastor to make sure people understand their rights and their responsibilities, regardless to what it may be inconvenient for somebody to hear, or the IRS says, well, you can't do that. If you have a 501c3, keep your 501c3.
Mm.
I don't need it. I got a Bible. And I got tithes, and I got offerings, and I got parishioners, and I got a God that will make a way. And until pastors can understand and embrace the true calling that they have, things will not change. The government can't change it. The elected officials can't change it. It is going to come to the church to be active and change it. Because with all the times when you look through history and the civil rights leaders and all the different leaders were born from the church. And until the church is ready to stand up and take its rightful place, these things won't change.
Okay. Thank you, caller, for calling back.
Have a good evening.
You too. Area code 606-297. This number looks familiar. I'm not sure if I've come to you before. If we have, we'll just move on. 606-297, have I come to you?
Actually, I'm a first-time caller.
Well, good evening. How are you?
I have really enjoyed your all's conversation tonight.
Very educational.
I had a couple of comments I'd like to make.
Okay.
There was a little confusion earlier concerning how many murders go on with assault rifles.
Okay,
please. And when you're dealing with firearms, actually, it's primarily handguns. Okay, when you compare the two, I think assault rifles may make 20%, if that high. Now, this is just my personal point of view, but I think they come after the assault rifles, A, because of the high-capacity magazines, and B, because the range on those things is threatening. If you're talking about police operations or martial law, a handgun, I can get you from 60 yards away, but an assault rifle, I'm at 1,000 yards then. So you see the difference there.
I do.
The other thing that I wanted to point out was when you look at mass shootings, and we're talking four or more deaths, if you look at the 20th century, you really don't have much up until the 1960s. Now, you do have an aberration in the 30s and 40s. The Depression was going on. Crime rates were high. People were desperate. And, you know, that's when you had the Valentine's Day Massacre, Al Capone, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But after 1963, you start seeing an increase. The 1970s, there were 13 incidents of mass shootings. The 1980s, there were 32. The 1990s, there were 42. And so on. And I'm just wondering if there's a correlation between this and the Supreme Court making the decision that you can't talk about God in school anymore.
Wow. I wouldn't have put that connection together, but okay. So, you mean all the school shootings?
Well, I'm talking, this is mass shootings in general. Doesn't matter where they were.
Okay.
And when they say mass shooting, they're defining that as four or more people killed.
Okay.
Now, from 1900 through the 1960s, you've got single digits for each decade. In the 1970s, you jump up to double digits for that decade, 13.
Hmm.
In the 1980s, you have 32. In the 1990s, you have 42. And in the 2000s, it drops down to 28. And in this decade, which we're 3 years into now, we've already had 14.
The short and easy answer to your question is yes. Because what's really happened to our society and where we have gone wrong is we've lost our moral compass. And a lot of that came out of the situation where families didn't attend church, especially in the northern states, like they used to. It used to be something that you did every single Sunday, and there was an actual moral compass to our society. As the 1960s came around, and then you had the free spirits and the hippies and the flower children and all the lovemaking and drugs and everything that went on, we definitely lost our moral compass. And the black society really lost its moral compass because as the hippies, we've had this conversation before, Carrie and I, but as they started to move into the lower income areas and the lower rent areas, which is mainly where the black population lived, and yes, it stemmed from slavery on up through, but then you had whites that infiltrated there. They came in with their drugs. They came in with their wild behavior, and it really corrupted the black segments of society to the point where then you had welfare that drove the fathers out of the homes so that the mothers could get the money, and it just escalated from there. So did it start when they took God out of school? Absolutely. You then had children who had no moral compass anymore, and the world has gone crazy since then.
Well, it's not, Howard, did you have anything else? I'm not the only person that's noticed that.
No, you're not.
Paul, is there anything else you wanted to add before we move on?
No, I will not. I will just thank you for the thought-provoking conversation, and please, by all means, carry on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to go to area code 313-848. Good evening. You're on Center Stage.
Hey, how are you doing? This is Stacy Swimp.
Hi, Stacy Swimp. How are you?
Pretty good. I just called in and say I'm proud of you guys and lady. And keep doing what you're doing. It's a great thing, and our country needs everyone to stand.
God bless you. Thank you.
Well, do you have a stand on the gun control issue?
Absolutely.
I think it's a
How you doing, brother?
Hey, Stacy. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing good. My stance is that this is a right that's guaranteed not only by the Constitution but by God. The Constitution is based upon God's rights, not man-given rights, but God's rights. And I say God's rights because, in fact, I was just reading Ezekiel earlier tonight. Remember the story of Ezekiel when God told the children of Israel, "You say that my ways are not fair, but, O Israel, is it not your ways that are not fair?" Because, you know, America, we've lost sight of the fact that rights are defined by God's character and God's word and, moreover, God's will. And anything that runs afoul or contrary to that is not a right. So we know we have a right to protect ourselves because God gave us the right from the very beginning. I had a good friend of mine that brought up the fact, and I think William, one of the brothers at the press conference, talked about that when Cain and Abel were conflicting and one killed the other, God didn't ban the rock, he banned the murderer. So, think about it. He banned the murderer, and when David sent Bathsheba's wife to the front line, God didn't ban all swores because it was a swore that killed her husband, did he? He banned David from the kingdom for a while.
Okay.
So at the end of the day, it's a false argument. What they're doing, and we saw throughout the annals of history, this is just a precursor, if you will, to anybody that would dissent against King Obama. And if you are a dissenter against socialism, against the gay agenda, against these nefarious things that are breaking down the families, breaking down our society, and really leading us to a complete moral collapse, and we know that prior to an economic collapse, always comes a moral collapse, and then the economic collapse, and the end of our civilization as we know it. So this is a very serious time. We war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and evil spirits. And William and I had a great fellowship. Brother, I just want you to know I'm still on fire from that conversation the other day. And I was totally caught off guard by that. But this brother is a Holy Spirit filled godly man, and he inspired me. I thank God for him. So I don't want to take too much time on your show, but I just want to thank you for standing because, Jesus said the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. So it may not seem like a big deal to you, ma'am, or to William, because you're doing what you know you have to do. But the reality of it is we do not have enough people who are willing to stand up. And I can't tell you how frustrated I am because, you see, just like the Bible talks about that great apostasy, the great falling away, don't you notice now all of a sudden you start seeing all these people who profess to be Republicans, people who profess to be conservatives, are now actually morally surrendering to the agenda of the left? Have you noticed that?
Yes.
In droves. They're doing it in droves.
Yeah. In droves. So I just have to call and encourage you and say, look, you know what? Thank you. Thank you for your faith. As Joshua said, as for me and my household, we shall serve the Lord. The two of you are serving God. And remember, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, God only allowed two people out of the original people who he brought out of bondage to cross the River Jordan. That was Joshua and Caleb. So not many of us are going to make it to the other side.
Well, who's going to go with
that? Sad fact. Say again?
I had a question for you, Stacy. Doing a, if mm-hmm. it's all right, can I ask Stacy a question? Our fabulous radio host, you're awesome. You made a comment regarding how guns played a specific role for blacks during mm-hmm. times of the revolution. What was going on? Could you share that with the listeners in brief?
Oh, yeah. Well, the first gun laws that were enacted in this country were enacted in 1640, so-called prohibition against Negroes. You know, that was the politically correct term at that time, free and slave. And in fact, they even said that blacks were prohibited from carrying anything that resembled a stick or what we would call a bat or a club. And so it was intended to keep them from being able to defend themselves against slave masters or would-be slave captors, or they had what they called the Fugitive Slave Act. But prior to coming up with a legal Fugitive Slave Act, they simply chased them anyway without the law saying they could do it. So they didn't want these Negroes being able to defend themselves against anyone who might try to capture them and return them to the plantation. So every so-called gun law that was passed, particularly from 1640 to 1995, were specifically targeting towards blacks. I mean, you go all the way to 1866, and this is the year that the KKK was founded. It's very interesting. Now, we all know that the KKK was founded for one reason and one reason only, and that was to terrorize black and white Republicans in the South to control the ballot box. And thank God, 5 years later, the NRA was created. Now, the NRA wasn't necessarily created just for the purpose of defending black people, but it's no coincidence that the first 10 presidents of the NRA were all abolitionists and they were all former Union Army soldiers, and one of them being Ulysses S. Grant. And you go all the way, and you can fast forward because there's too many to talk about on your show, but you can fast forward to 1947 in Florida. You know, they started talking about a case down there, and the court had to concede the fact that, guess what, these laws were intended to disarm blacks. And one person said in the court case, they were never intended, the unintended consequences were not to be to disarm whites. So now let's fast forward to 1995. You know, all of a sudden they start putting up these gun laws, restrictions. Actually, they started doing it before that, and what we call public housing. Isn't it interesting that when you look at Chicago and you look at Los Angeles and Detroit, these large inner cities which have massive so-called public housing sections or ghettos, as we call them, this is where most of the crime is being committed. 56% of all gun crimes, it's a sad fact, but 56% of all gun crimes are being committed by black males. Did you know that?
No.
56%, and we make up less than 12% of the overall population. So that means we're killing each other at an alarming pace. And most of the murders are taking place in areas with the strictest gun codes in the nation. in these so-called public housing units where the government is telling the residents there you can't have guns. Now, it's interesting, when the police are going and doing their sweeps in some places like Chicago, they call it ceasefire. Well, that's very interesting, because the only people they're ceasing to have guns are the law-abiding citizens who are being terrorized and murdered by gang members and thugs. So these things have always had a disproportionate impact on black people. Now, am I saying that the Obama administration and the left, they're trying to once again target black people for gun laws? Well, I'm not necessarily saying that, but let's not fool ourselves. At the end of the day, there's a such thing called good intentions versus unintended consequences. So whether their intentions are good or not, these kind of laws are always going to have a disproportionately negative impact on the so-called most marginalized or poor people in the country. And today, that's mostly black people, but it's not just black people. But we're not even just talking about that. We're also talking about political dissent. And understand something. We see it, because now if you're Tea Party, all of a sudden the left says you're hateful, you're racist. In fact, you don't even have to be Tea Party. You just have to be anybody that doesn't bow down to Barack Obama. Okay, anybody, I don't care who you are. If you don't bow down to the agenda of Barack Obama, you're hateful. If you don't agree with the agenda of the left, the gay, lesbian agenda, I saw someone on social media today talking about you must be some kind of Nazi. I mean, this is what's going on with the PC world, and we're in war. So this gun law thing is going to have it's absolutely going to have a disproportionate impact continually on black people and minorities. You actually think they're going to go out and start doing sweeps in the suburbs out there where Bill Clinton lives at in Harlem? Give me a break. You know they're not going to do that. You think they're going to start doing sweeps out here in Oakland County and some of these higher income areas? Come on. You know they're not going to do that. Hey, you think, matter of fact, this leftist communist Michael Moore, where he lives at, you think they're going to do, wherever he lives at, you think they're going to go do sweeps out there? I don't think so. Even in some of the communities where you've had so-called mass murders from white young teenagers who have come from so-called well-to-do families. I say well-to-do because I hate using that term, higher class, middle class, lower class. I don't even know what that is. What's a middle class? I don't even know. What does that begin and where does that end? I have no idea, but I hate to use the terminology. I'll just say some of these kids come from areas where their parents are doing pretty good and they're killing people. So you think they're going to go and turn around and sweep those communities where those Columbine kids came from? No, they're not going to do that. They're going to come to Detroit, Michigan. That's where they're going, and they're going to sweep the law-abiding citizens and turn away from the gang members. They're going to go down to Flint, Michigan, which has one of the highest per capita rates, murder rates in the world. Brother and sister, I'm telling you right now, more black folks are killing each other in Flint and Detroit than soldiers are dying in Afghanistan and Iraq combined.
Thank you, Mr. The phone lines are just lighting up as Mrs. Wimber's talking, y'all. Thank you. Thank you, Stacey Swift, for those comments. We're going to go to area code 972-322. Thank you so much for holding. 972-322. Good evening.
Hi, this is Alice Lenahan, and I'm excited to have an opportunity to speak for a minute. I've had the opportunity to get to know William Owens in preparation for God, Guns, and the Constitution here in Dallas on March 9th. And we are just so excited. And part of the role that I'm playing on that is getting people to take this information and push it out to our friends and neighbors. And I can tell you that this show tonight, especially after following Stacey, has been informative and inspiring. And I just want to give a call to action to all your listeners to take this radio show after it's been archived and share it with your friends and neighbors, because this is the message that needs to be pushed out across the country.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Area code 661, you've been holding a while. I'm not sure if I've already come to you. If I have, we'll just move on. 661-748, have I come to you already?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Actually, I did speak to you earlier, but I didn't mention that I'm a retired Illinois State Policeman, a state-certified firearms instructor.
Wow.
And there were some facts I wanted to acquaint your audience with, because I think they need it for ammunition when they go out and make the case against this monstrous gun control agenda that's presently being fomented. Number one is Haynes versus United States. A U.S. Supreme Court decision that interpreted the Fifth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution's self-incrimination clause. What it essentially held was that a felon who is legally disqualified from owning a firearm is not, repeat, not required to comply with registration laws because it amounts to self-incrimination. So the only people against whom registration laws can be applied are those who have not been convicted of a crime. Now, I want you to normally have that sink into your listeners. The purpose of gun registration is not to make sure that criminals register the firearms. Supreme Court has already held they are immune against compliance with such laws. Now, of course, this doesn't mean they can't be complied with illegal possession. They can be charged with illegal possession, but they cannot be charged with the failure to register or to list themselves as a firearms owner. So it's clear what these laws are intended for, to compile lists of gun owners. Number two, if you talk to any homicide detective in any big city in the nation, I don't care which one, pick one, it doesn't matter. Just anyone, it doesn't matter. And this is the truth that we have to tell about homicides committed with firearms in this country. The typical homicide victim and the offender, and this is critical to understand, in over 70% of the cases, in fact, it's an even higher percentage involving victims, they have criminal backgrounds. 70% of citizens in the United States, or even gun owners, don't have criminal backgrounds. But the people who are victims of homicide overwhelmingly engage in conduct that puts them at risk of homicide. And that is even dividing to a smaller subset of black and Hispanic males in the inner city who comprise most of these homicide victims, who, quite frankly, are the ones who appear on page 3 of the Metro section. Hydea Pendleton and the kids in the Newtown Sandy Hook school shooting are the exceptions to the rule. That's why they get highlighted so. That's why the left and the gun grabbers dance on the graves so and wave their bloody shirts around. That's why. Because typical homicide victim, someone, frankly, doesn't mean they deserve to die. I'm not saying that. I'm saying they engage in the sort of thing that is likely to get you killed. They're gangbangers, they're drug dealers in a beef, or something like that. And we've got to tell the truth about this and make people aware this is not a problem with most gun owners in the society, certainly not those who'd be willing to register and able to register their weapons. We've got to tell the truth about this in all respects. We are not all equally likely to be victims of firearm homicide. It is a relatively small subset, and these gun grabbers, these cultural Marxists, all the others who are using this as an excuse so they have more control over us. Gun control is about population control, so we would be less able to resist their tyrannical depredations. That's why they wish to disarm us. I wouldn't care if their activities would result in a reduction of homicides with so-called assault weapons, because those are the weapons that are most exactly protected by the Second Amendment to the United States Constitution, because they are weapons of military utility. I would ask you this question. How many times may I shoot an enemy, a criminal of the state, or a tyrant intent upon eliminating my liberty, and how rapidly may I shoot him before reloading? And I submit to you folks, that shouldn't be any limit upon that. Whatever is necessary is what we should be able to do, should it come to that.
Mm. Wow. Well, thank you, caller. Thank you. That said, 770, I do apologize. You were holding and I was coming to you next. So if you'd like to get back on the phone lines, feel free to do so. If you just tuned in and you're wondering what the heck are we talking about, you've come center stage tonight for the topic God, Guns, and the Constitution. We're talking to William Owens Jr. with the website God, Guns, and the Constitution, and Thelma Tormina with the 912 group out of Houston, Texas. A reminder, the chat room is down tonight, so if you have a question or a comment, we're down to our last 17 minutes of the show. If you need to get on the phone line, call us up at 347-850-8390, and then press 1. If you have a question or a comment for this panel, and they've been awesome tonight, y'all, get on the phone line. Dial us up at 347-850-8390, and then press 1. Y'all, this has been an awesome show thus far, I must admit. I have enjoyed all the caller participation. I really, really have. But one thing I want to ask Thelma and William, if it does come to a situation in which the government decides to take up all the weapons, let's just say hypothetically that happens, do you think that the American people will rebel or revolt and then therefore we have a revolution on our hands? Is that what it's going to come to?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes, I mean, people are they're stockpiling. They're ready for that. I mean, the gun has never been better. I mean, some of the businesses have seen 700%, 800%, 1,000% increase in business, and the reason why I'm so conscious about God being on the tip of the spear in this work is because the bullets and the guns are not the answers. For good reasons or for different reasons. The answer is God. And I know we've heard that so much, we can't hear it. And I just want to encourage your readers with the scripture found in 2 Corinthians 3:5. It says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think that anything is of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Another translation might put it this way, not that we are able to do this in and of our own strength, to think that we are our own answer, but our answer and our hope and our strength is in God. And this is where we need to return back to. We need to realize that even though God told David to take that uncircumcised Philistine down, and God had equipped David for that moment with the use of a sling, it was God that propelled that sling to do its job, but it started with God first. And this is where I want to encourage everyone out there. When you go off to this show tonight and you ponder these things, you find a quiet place and ask yourself a question. Where am I with God? Not the God of your own creation. I'm talking about the one living true God through his son Jesus Christ. Where are you with God? And if you don't have a peace beyond knowing, the way my sister over here said it, go ahead and take him out, because I have faith in him. I want to encourage you to come to that place in your life to where you can put that question behind you, because as our host just got through asking, are we coming to revolution? I believe all the signs point to it, yes. Whether it's 5 days, 5 months, or 5 weeks, I don't know, but it is absolutely, yes, it is coming to that in this country. We will see it happen, because America has abandoned the one who brought her, and that's God.
You know, I was thinking today of, you know, what are we doing as a people to say to our elected officials, you know, hold up, you know, we want to have a little bit more debate about this before we, you know, automatically decide that we're just going to put a ban on all assault weapons. And I was thinking of some of the things that we should maybe put on the table. And I came up with it, and maybe you all could add to my list if you see fit. I thought that some of the things that we maybe should say we're in agreement with would be mandatory weapons training for everyone that's, you know, a registered person. No? No?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't. No.
No, that's a bad thing? I don't know. I'm just guessing. I mean, if you're going to hang on a gun, you might as well be like, I mean, go through some type of weapons training. I mean, I'm sure. What I'm trying to say is, listen, I don't agree with banning weapons at all. So I'm really looking to dialogue about maybe some other ways that we can say we can be responsible gun owners. Let's just
you
say
know
that.
What's sad, Carrie, is it used to be like that. I mean, what
right.
a lot of people don't know is children actually used to carry guns to school,
oh.
all of them, because they were all trained in how to use gun, and they didn't take it because they were afraid, but you have to remember that they lived on the plains and in the fields and in the mountains, and so if there were any danger, all of those children were prepared to defend themselves and others. It used to be that way in this country. It no longer is.
Okay.
That's right. And I think, too, what you're saying is that would be good, but we don't have a reasonable administration. They're planning
just to kind of give you an how they're dealing with it, they're not suggesting ideas. They're buying more bullets than anybody. That's letting you know what their intent is. They're not saying, okay, this is what, you know, Biden didn't get on television and say, I think we need to be sure that everybody knows how to protect their community. So we're going to actually pass a bill, and we're going to pay, we're going to give tax credits. If you go get a gun, we'll give you a $500 tax credit if you buy some ammunition. And in this way, we'll make everybody safe. He didn't say that. Why he's saying,
you know what? But since you and I both know that this entire country is not ready to meet their makers, so we need to put some other options on the table so that maybe we can slow down this revolution thing, because if that's the case, you know, we know that there's going to be a lot of bloodshed in the street. So my thinking was, let's give them some options so we can say, listen, we tried everything within reason to stop a revolution before we just go full-fledged into a revolution.
I agree with you, but let me tell you something.
I'm not ready.
let me tell you something. While you giving them an option, you be sure you're doing your target practice too, okay?
I was thinking, okay, maybe I need to write my elected officials a letter and say, hey, listen, maybe we should do this before we ban all assault weapons. So I was thinking, now this is my list, y'all. Y'all tell me if y'all disagree. I thought every gun owner should be registered. I thought there should be mandatory weapons training if you're a gun owner. I thought there should be universal background checks. I thought there should be some type of mental written test that you need to take to see if you're crazy before you get a gun. And I thought there should be a waiting period. And I thought all of those things were reasonable to ask if before we go to banning assault weapons. Can y'all
see the problem? Go ahead.
One problem with that, Carrie,
okay,
is the Second Amendment states that our rights will not be infringed upon. That means in any way, shape, or form. This is a right that God gave us. Are you negotiating with God, or are you negotiating with men?
Okay.
That's right.
And something else that the audience really needs to know before we end the call tonight,
okay,
is that there has been a plan to disarm the American people since John F. Kennedy was president. Now, I'm not saying that Kennedy was a big globalist who saw control in the wings or anything like that, but when the nuclear arms race was happening, he really was a good president, and he was frightened, not just for our country, but for the world.
Okay.
So they started the disarmament practice, and it started with the nuclear weapons. Then it was to move on to the missiles. Then it was to move on to small arms. And there is a public law that was passed, and you will not find it online, but I do have a copy of it, where it actually names the steps. We are in that third step. There is nothing that you're going to do to slow this down. It's a question of whether our legislators that now sit in Washington have the guts to stand up for what our God-given rights are, not what they decide our rights are.
And I'll just add on to that this is prophetic. I just want to reiterate that for the Christian, we're in a dispensation of grace, and God is not an American. And when that dispensation of grace is over, God is moving. He's moving us toward a prophetic purpose. And that purpose is, once the fullness of time has come, this must happen. Look at what's happened with the Pope the first time in 600 years. When you take a look at these signs and wonders, two meteorites have fallen out of the sky. When you take a look at these signs and the issues, and men's hearts are failing them because of fear. When you take a look at all these issues and you step back and you allow your, not your physical eyes, but your spiritual eyes to focus, God is sending a very clear message that he is visiting the nations, and there's going to be conflict, and there's a shift and a change coming. And prophecy has even said that the last pope to take office will actually get into agreement with the Antichrist. And so when you take it, and so all of these things are happening, it's very clear to me it's not really about the guns. It's not about those innocent souls who were killed. It's not about those who are being killed in Chicago. It is about God. God has a purpose, and those who hear his voice will understand this and move with him. And I greatly encourage everyone hearing this to be sure your heart is right and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Mm. Y'all, that's going to have to be the final word tonight. I'd like to thank William Owens, Jr., with God, Guns, and theconstitution.org. And he also is holding town hall meetings under the same name, God, Guns, and the Constitution. Also, we'd like to thank Thelma Tormina with the 912 Group out of Houston, Texas. Listen, a reminder, y'all, the views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect that of Center Stage, the host, or our advertisers. Also, y'all, we'd like you to join us each and every Friday night right here, Center Stage, from 8 to 10 p.m. Central, 9 to 11 Eastern, as we do what we do. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell a coworker to check the show out. Also, a reminder, Center Stage is looking for new advertisers. So if you like what we do here on Center Stage, drop us a line at centerstageradio@yahoo.com. Again, I'd like to thank Mr. Williams Owens, Jr., and Thelma for being with me tonight. I really enjoyed you guys. I really, really did. Y'all got to come back again. Okay, y'all, we got to get out of here tonight, make way for someone else to do what we do. But remember, our motto here at Center Stage is less music, more talk. We'll see you next time.
God bless, Carrie.
No matter where you've been or where you might currently find yourself, it's not over. When God is in it, there is no limit. New greetings.
It's not over. It's